You're listening to SpursCast, episode 629. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writers Benjamin Bornstein and Jonas Clark. In this episode, we will discuss some potential training camp invites from the Austin Spurs, who might get the open two-way roster spot, and some names to watch for the Austin Spurs head coaching vacancy. Let's dive right into this episode with Ben and Jonas. Let's go ahead and kick this off, guys, with our first topic here, and this is, do we think any Austin Spurs players may end up on the Spurs' training camp roster? The reason why I say this is because, right now, currently, the state of the team does have 18 players total when we throw in, when we add in Joe Wieskamp, who got that two-way roster spot. So they are allowed San Antonio to add up to two more players for training camp and all of the preseason. We do know that, as we've mentioned here on the SpursCast and over on our YouTube page and also on Project Spurs, that the team does need to get down to 15 full NBA players and two-way players by October 18th. So we'll go ahead and begin this conversation with Jonas. Who are some names to watch out for from the Austin Spurs that you think might be potential invites to training camp and preseason?
One of the big ones that stands out, of course, is Cam Reynolds. I don't think he's signed with anybody right now, but the team has kept him around the organization. He played in the Gubble last year, came up, played with San Antonio there at the end of the season, and has been affiliated with the team in the past. That one's pretty obvious, in my opinion, would lead the candidacy there. My person that I really want, though, is Nate Renfro. We recognize his team's need for size and aggression around the rim, and he just brings all of that and more. Runs the floor really well, big guy, and blocks blocks over dunks. That's my mantra, and Nate does it in spades. And so I think those are some guys right there to really look at. Kyrie Thomas, another option out there. He spent who was playing with in the summer. He spent some time playing in the summer league. Not for San Antonio, but he was in the summer league getting some action too. And so I think that those three guys, and just Kyrie really, just because of what he provides from a perimeter shooting element, I really want Nate to get that other two-way spot. I think that Cam would be logical there, just in terms of he's a more complete prospect. Kyler Kelly might be somebody else that you could see them try to just bring into camp. Again, just from a size standpoint, because this is a rather small roster, and I understand Pop likes a small ball, but you do have to have some size in the NBA.
Yeah, and regarding Kyrie Thomas, I just saw his name on a roster. I think he's on Houston right now, but he's on a non-guaranteed deal. So I think that, yeah, they probably are going to waive him because they actually need to waive a player, Houston. So I think you're right. If he ends up getting waived, maybe he's a player to watch for. Ben, was there any players that you had in mind from the Austin Spurs roster, or you agree with Jonas there?
I'm definitely in agreement there. I mean, so Trey Jones is on the roster, right? He's not on the G League roster.
Yeah, he's on the Spurs roster.
Okay, because I was going to say that's absolutely right. A guy that should be getting the call up there. Luka's getting the call up. So, I mean, it seems pretty no-brainer to me. Like, those are the guys who should be on the team. They have, like you said, they have 18 guys right now. There's really only room for two call-ups, and those guys are going to go immediately back down to Austin when the season starts. And, you know, the Spurs got to figure out the three guys they're not going to keep. You know, they got to make a trade at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If I may add one more in here, Caleb Johnson.
Oh yeah,
he was a camp invite before. His brother Keldon, he's worked out with the team a lot. He spent last year with in the G League bubble as well. Performed pretty well in limited minutes, and I think that's another guy to kind of keep an eye out for again, just because familiarity with the team and what he also provides in defensive drills and stuff like that too.
Okay, yeah. So no, definitely Caleb's a player to watch out for. Some of these players also just play with the Spurs in the summer league recently. I think it was like last month. All right, let's go to our second question here, and that's does anyone stand out to you who might actually maybe become an invite at first, but then turn into a two-way roster spot player? Because, like, as we mentioned, the only player right now under contract for a two-way roster spot is Joe Wieskamp. And since Keita Bates-Jopp signed a full NBA deal, there is a vacancy there now, an opening for a two-way player. What do you think, Jonas?
I think I unintentionally answered this one before, but I think that is Nate Renfro. Again, I think that just the energy he's going to bring and filling the point of need for size, especially since we're not exactly sure what version of Luka is even going to show up. We've seen pictures, seen some video out there. I played very aggressive last year in the bubble. But I think that Renfro is going to be one of those guys that really impresses the coaches from his hustle standpoint. And I think that that should really give him the edge to take that other two lead.
What about a guy like, you know, he didn't play with Austin, but a guy like Daquan Jeffries, who had a pretty good summer league for the team from what I saw. I wonder if he's an interesting name to watch in the event that he can't get an NBA deal. Maybe he ends up with the Spurs on a two-way.
Should he survive? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's one of those things, too. I think that a two-way looks great for Daquan because otherwise he would go into the G League draft. Mm-hmm. At which point you end up, it gets messy with all the player rights and who has access to them later on because of their affiliation with the organization already. And so if you risk him going to the draft, I think Daquan would be a good option. I was kind of shocked that the team didn't use him more when they had the chance to, when he was on the roster to end last season that was already kind of lost.
So there was a Ben, I want to get your thoughts on this next question. There was I don't know who the reporter is. I want to say it was Keith Smith, but I can't specifically name the reporter. But I saw this just today. And, you know, we are recording on a Wednesday evening. I saw something about the fact that this year a lot of agents are kind of frustrated with teams because they're not offering players, second round picks or players that went undrafted. They're not offering them, non-guaranteed deals where it's not just exhibit 10. Like basically the teams are saying you can only sign a non-guaranteed deal, like to get that $50,000, payment out of it. If you're willing to go into the G League for our team, and a lot of free agents or undrafted players don't want to do that. And so a lot of agents are getting kind of frustrated with this situation because normally, you know, a lot of undrafted players can just get that non-guaranteed, that exhibit 10 or whatever that type of contract is. I don't have the specifics. But again, you know, Ben, what are your thoughts on the fact that, you know, cause again, I'm seeing some like wild names here that I've never heard of, signing, training camp contracts with teams, like players that we never talked about, like, you know, at the draft time or anything like that. And even like second round players, I'm not seeing some of these guys that I've heard, that I've seen on rosters, that's kind of thrown me off a little bit. What are your thoughts on that, Ben?
I think some of it is, and we saw some of this with 10-day deals. I think there a lot of teams are signing guys where they know like they're not going to miss days because of COVID issues. Mm-hmm. I think part of that plays, I mean, I know that played a part on drafting in my fantasy league, but I think that'll play a big part in real life as well, where they say, okay, you're double vaccinated, you're fully vaccinated, we don't have to worry about, you know, bringing you in, quarantining, doing all these other steps, where, you know, the unvaccinated players, they're going to have, just like it is in the NFL and the NBA, they're going to have a completely different day than what vaccinated players have. So I think part of it is that, part of it is teams don't want to take risks on, and even though it's, you know, chump change to teams, right? If you're, if you're paying a guy on a two way or a non-guaranteed, it's chump change to you, but they'd rather pay a guy who they know, who they have tape on, NBA tape on specifically, and say, we'd rather roll the dice with this guy. We know what he's capable of. We know what he's not capable of. And let's try and mitigate some sort of risks that we might incur by taking a second round or undrafted guy this year who only has overseas tape or only has like minimal college tape, whatever it is. And I mean, Michael Beasley got a training camp invite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been out of the league how many years, and he got a training camp invite. I mean, some of the names that you're seeing get these training camp invites is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And so an example of what I'm talking about here is like the Miami Heat, they filled out their roster to get 20 players with like Javonte Smart, Drew Smith, and Micah Potter. And like, I had never heard of these guys, but you know, they're getting training camp invites. But again, the reason why they're signing these deals is because they are non-guaranteed. But if they get, once they get waived from the Heat, they'll at least be able to go play with whoever the affiliate team is in the G League. And so that's kind of what I've seen, and why a lot of undrafted players didn't end up signing. Instead, I would assume the undrafted players are taking better deals overseas. Maybe that's the case there. So yeah, it's just something interesting to watch. And so again, that's also something to consider, I think, when we're talking about who did the Spurs fill out the training camp roster with, if they do fill those last two roster spots. So Ben and Jonas, I'm going to kind of pass this part off to you all. Y'all had some questions just regarding the Austin Spurs team. Go ahead, and Jonas, you can start that conversation.
I mean, just from the Austin standpoint, the real question, I guess, this year is what's kind of going to be the focus? You know, there's the only draft pick going down or up to Austin is going to be Wieskamp because Trey Jones should not. He might spend maybe the first half just because of, you know, again, a slight log jam there at the guard position. But I think that he should earn his minutes pretty quickly. And that call up. Then there's no other. Quindary Weatherspoon is not even a part of this organization anymore. So that's a draft pick gone. Who fits in at like what's the purpose? I guess what's the purpose of this year? Who are you trying to develop? Because before it was really easy. Like you would draft your first rounder, he'd go sit down in the G League. I don't know that Primo really fits for sitting down in this G League this year. I feel like he needs some maturity, and that just comes from being around the San Antonio team.
Oh, interesting.
I guess, okay. In my opinion.
What are your thoughts, Ben, there?
That is interesting. I don't hate that line of logic. I think, yeah, I would say he would benefit from from either situation, whether that's playing heavy minutes in Austin and kind of being the guy, or at least the second guy in Austin, or sitting on the bench with the Spurs and soaking things in from Derek White, DeJounte Murray, and the other guards they have on this roster. For me, and this may not be a popular opinion, but I would say throw him down to Austin, throw him up. Sorry, I keep saying down because it's G League is below NBA, but yeah. I hate geography. And
geographically, no, Austin's actually north of us here in San Antonio.
Geography is the worst. But I would say, you know, throw him to Austin, let him run, let him make his mistakes there, and really see what you're getting with that pick you made, because if you're the Spurs, you now have to prove that you made a smart pick there, and you have to basically say, yeah, we went a year early on this pick, basically, and we're good with that. Here's why you all, the fans, should be good with that. You know, this is what he's done in the G League. We think there is a clear transferal of skills there that will get him to the NBA.
But if I may, can you afford to send the highest pick since Tim Duncan to Austin? I mean, are you going to be able to see what he's really got? Because we've seen players look transcendent in Austin, like a Chimezie Metu, who is a G League all-star and then just can't complete it, get it together at the next level. You know, maybe at some point this season, he definitely should see Austin but in terms of iron sharpens iron, get him out there, see what exactly he does. He did pretty well in the summer league. I think that earns him an opportunity to start this season on the bench. Devin Vassell, I think his development is going to be better because he did not go to Orlando last year. And this is the pandemic forced a shift in the Austin Spurs thinking, because DeJounte started in Austin. Derek started in Austin. Lonnie started in Austin. And so they built what Landry Fields once called just the precedent. They had established a precedent of here's how we develop our players now. And then so you get that off the tracks because of a COVID season that was, you know, last year. And then the G League didn't start until February, and it was only going to be for a month, and it was going to be in Orlando. So a very closed facility. I just think that when you have a pick as high, if you would have traded back, if it would have been 15 or lower, sure. But the fans need a little bit of payoff, and I think that Primo's development needs to see, like, how does he stack now so we have a measurement. We don't even really have him too much against college time. We need a measurement stick to gauge his progress and then send him down and let him develop in Austin. But I think he should start the season with San Antonio.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week two game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TBPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Okay, so this is interesting. So I was just quickly, going through and seeing the Austins. We're not going to go into their schedule because we're going to save that for the Forever Toros podcast. John Diaz and Michael De Leon a little bit later. However, I was just looking at the Austin Spurs schedule, and it begins on November 5th. So this is interesting. So the Spurs start October 20th, their actual season. So we should have a pretty good breakdown of what the lineup will be in terms of who's going to be the starters, who's going to be the bench, the second unit by the fifth by the last game of the preseason. So I do feel like they'll let Primo go with the team and also Trey Jones and all those other players, and then as soon as I think we know who the lineup is of who kind of Pop wants to have in those first 10-man rotations, I think those players who are left out, probably Primo, would be the players that maybe they send to Austin early on and when their season starts there in November. So I think, again, kind of waiting and seeing. I think one tricky issue for the team is the fact that they did sign Bryn Forbes. And what if, I'm not saying that Pop's going to do this, but what if in the event he just wants to roll out lineups with like Lonnie, Bryn, Devin, and then whoever the other two bigs are. And then all of a sudden you have Primo and Jones just sitting there on the bench from night to night. That's going to be something interesting to watch. Ben, what are some of your thoughts on those kind of situations, scenarios?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking about when I'm saying that Primo should probably start in Austin, is that this team is so guard heavy right now and they have to find minutes for all these other guys. It's going to be hard for Primo to break in and grab some of those minutes away unless he just absolutely is blowing people away in practice and getting the better of guys like Derek White, DeJounte Murray, and Devin Vassell in practice. To me, it's very I just don't see it happening. And that's not to say I don't think Primo would be a good player at all. I just, at his current stage, to me, he is an Austin Spurs player. And I think, yes, he will learn some things sitting on that bench, but I think to really understand what he has and for him to understand what he has to do, yes, maybe start him in San Antonio. You see, oh, snap, okay. This is what professional basketball looks like. This is the speed. These are the things that I need to do and get better at, and then go spend time in the G League and go get better at those things.
I think something else to watch in terms of this is why Primo is really interesting, because yes, I think we're right. We could expect him to go to the Austin Spurs, immediately, like in November when they start. But also something what Jonas kind of mentioned earlier, what if this team is not successful early on? I mean, they have a very tough schedule. Like they got like the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Mavericks, just a bunch of teams that are going to be pretty good here in the first like 10, 20 games. And so what if the Spurs get off to a horrible start? Maybe they're like 2-12, 3-14, one of those kind of starts. And then it's like, do you really want to be as competitive as you can? Why not just start giving Primo the experience at the NBA level, since already the season's off to a bad start? What are y'all's thoughts on that kind of scenario?
Well, I think that one of the things to consider at that point, and this is when you talk about how difficult the San Antonio start is. The start is really interesting, and I know that the the schedule conversation is for another point, but what needs to be mentioned here too is kind of how the G League is breaking up their schedule this year,
mm-hmm.
where they have the Showcase Cup.
Yeah.
And like that's going to run up through the holiday. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the season, which is actually the season of 36 games starting there right at the new year. And that's going to include the entire G League minus the Ignite and the Capitans.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So those both of those teams will not be participating. So this showcase event, and this is kind of an expansion on the winter showcase that they used to have there in December, where it was its own mini mid-season tournament in the G League. It's now been expanded to be that entire first portion. So if the San Antonio schedule is going to be that difficult, and it's kind of a throwaway because it doesn't have any implication on playoff standings or anything like that for the cup, why not let Primo go and test himself against the Lakers and keep Jones up there? Because, I mean, when you mention names like Bryn Forbes, those don't really excite me in terms of, like, why he – it comes back to a question of why is he on this team?
Mm-hmm.
3-point shooting, that's what he's here for. Mm-hmm. If you know, Pop wanted to shoot the three ball in the Olympics, he shot the three ball in the Olympics. He went out and got it brought back for a 3-point shooter, a high volume shooter that we lost last year. And you mm-hmm. saw that impact on the stat sheet greatly, where it used to be, it was an efficient 3-point shooting team, just didn't shoot enough. And then you not only didn't shoot enough, but you also weren't really good at it last year.
Yep.
For San Antonio. And so that, so you bring back Bryn Forbes, but somebody like Trey Jones fits to play a different role than Bryn Forbes, mm-hmm. and Primo is going to play a different role, I think, than even Bryn Forbes. But I think they should cut their teeth when in the NBA, when things kind of, in a sense, don't matter, rather than in the G League, when things don't really matter in the Showcase Cup.
Okay, that's interesting. So, yeah, so again, you know, there's just a lot to watch there, you know, in terms of who goes to the Austin Spurs, who doesn't. And you know, and a player who's still in a tough position, I think, is Lucas Szymanich, because of the situation that they have so many bigs. They have Drew Eubanks. They just re-signed Keita Bates-Jobb. They have Doug McDermott, who they just signed. They still have right now Thaddeus Young on the roster and Al-Farouq Aminu. So, you know, there's a lot of bigs there, and there's not many, you know, open spots. And so, you know, I don't think Luka would end up back in the G League, but I mean, if Pop likes to use that quote, if you're not playing, you know, I want some of the players to get some minutes somewhere. So he normally likes to say that sometimes when a lot of the younger players don't get any minutes with the San Antonio team. So again, that's just interesting to watch. All right, let's go to our second topic here. And this is Coach Matt Nielsen moving to the San Antonio bench. So, you know, I kind of referenced this last week on the Spurscast, but we didn't go into detail about the move. So back on September 8th, the Spurs announced that Matt Nielsen, who was the Austin Spurs head coach last season, has been promoted to the San Antonio team. And he's now an assistant coach alongside Coach Pop. Coach Pop's the head coach, obviously. So he's an assistant alongside Becky Hammon and Mitch Johnson. So those are, I think those are Coach Pop's top three assistant coaches now. And so Jonas, you recently wrote on Project Spurs, a really good piece here, talking about, you know, Nielsen's hiring and how this could actually be a good move for Lucas Szymanich's development. Can you go ahead and tell the listeners about that piece and kind of some of your thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is all about Luka. This entire promotion is about Luka. First, two international bigs, Matt Nielsen coming from Australia, Luka coming over from Europe. I mean, this is, with Croatia, it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You also bring in a very familiar face for Luka. He spent 2 years with Nielsen, first as an assistant coach his rookie year, and then last year in the G League bubble as his head coach. And when you look at Luka's performance year over year, he was able to be featured more, I think, because Nielsen knew how to feature him a little bit more than Ahern. And I understand the priority in year one for him and Keldon was probably going to be Keldon because he was the true blue chip coming in, and Luka was the project in terms of just what he brought from a prototypical standpoint, a ball handling big who had 3-point shooting potential. And then it's just learning to translate his game to the Spurs basketball and American basketball over here. And then you really saw that take off in Orlando, averaging double-double, 21 points, 11 rebounds. Like, he was fantastic. I mean, but he was playing more aggressive but you saw that come in terms also impact turnovers and personal fouls, because you're playing aggressive, you're playing fast, and then it's catching up the mental game along with the physical game that, at that point. This is a great hire, in my opinion, because you have somebody who's been there for his entire experience with the organization that's going to be able to translate things, not from a language barrier, but from a, hey, remember when we worked on this your rookie year? Hey, remember when we worked on this last year in Orlando? This is what it's been building towards. And you've already had some of that crossover because of the association between Austin and San Antonio, how they've practiced together over the years. They've done joint practices. They've kept Luka around the San Antonio team. He understands, but it's just the extra hand for when things become tough, as they likely will.
So Ben, I guess, you know, what do you think that means, the hiring of Nielsen, considering that, you know, like Jonas has mentioned here about, you know, not only the how he's going to help out Luka, but also how he knows that Austin Spurs system. He was the head coach, like we mentioned right now, you know, last season with them. And a lot of these players, like Jonas mentioned earlier, DeJounte Murray, Trey Jones, you know, all those, Lonnie Walker IV, they all came through that Austin system. So what do you think that could help with some of the other players on the team that have had that G League experience with the Austin team?
That's going to be huge. I mean, just like Jonas said, it's about continuity. And when you get that continuity with, he knows how to talk to these guys. He knows how to get the best out of them. He can help Pop and the rest of the staff do that. So it seems like a pretty no-brainer hire to me. The big hire is going to be who comes in behind him and coaches the G League team, of course. But I mean, moving Nielsen up seems like the easiest thing was also the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. So you get a win-win there. I don't think anybody hates that move, unless you're a crazy person, perhaps. But, you know, I don't know too many of those people, fortunately. So, it's just he knows how to talk to some of those guys who spent time in the G League. He's going to be able to connect with them and say, hey, you know, after Coach Pop is harsh on him, he can come back on the backside and say, hey, man, it's all good. You're doing what we want you to do. Pop just being Pop. Keep doing you, baby. You know, yes. Be the encouraging coach.
Okay. There's Nielsen going there. So now that brings up the next question is, you know, who might replace Nielsen in Austin? Because now Austin has a head coaching vacancy for the Austin Spurs, the G League team. So, Jonas, what are your thoughts there?
If I'm making this hire, it shouldn't be very difficult. RC needs to call up his son, Chase, bring him over from the Sydney Kings, and have him coach the Austin Spurs. He's coached in the G League already. He coached the Wisconsin Herd just 2 years ago. They were the number one team in the G League when the season got cut short due to COVID-19. I think that his background with the organization, his understanding of how we already operate, it's Spurs family is Spurs family. And then I think that it just makes too much sense. Why not, you know? But when you look at the question of who to hire, why to hire, and you look at Ahern, and Ahern developed guards, and he professionally was a guard. And then you had Nielsen, and he developed Luka, a power forward, and he professionally was a power forward. I think that you could look at the question, what does this team need now when it's 3-point shooting? So do you go and hire a coach who has 3-point shooting experience that's going to know what a shooter's looking for and draw plays around shooters to get them the most optimal touches during the game, and you just let it rain in Austin and just open the roof off the ATB Center? I don't know. But I think that, you know, if I can't have Buford, my next favorite is probably William Donovan III. He's been on the summer league team as an assistant guest coach. Obviously, his father, Billy Donovan, he spent last season with the Suns in their film room. And now that his father's coaching up in Chicago, he's in their film room. Oh, okay. So I think that it's low key. There's already the established relationship, and we know that you keep it within the family. And so if it's not going to be RC, yes, William's already a part of the family. Go get him.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So like, I don't have any specific names, you know, I'll just go with you there. Cause you know, you've done more research and background on this topic, but, In terms of what do you call it? In terms of like knowing who the two prospects are that they think they want to develop this year, in either you know, Josh Primo and Joe Wieskamp, I think that's interesting. If maybe they go to those players, because both those players are more perimeter oriented players, and so maybe like you mentioned, Jonas, maybe they go for more of a coach who knows how to feature shooting and outside, you know, shooting on 3-point shooting, things like that. So yeah, that, you know, that's just something else to watch now. Is, you know, who do the Austin Spurs hire as their head coach now that there is a vacancy with Nielsen available. So, you know, I know that we wanted to get through a few more questions here. So, you know, Ben or Jonas, y'all take the conversation. You know, what other questions y'all have?
So pretty much I'm going to sit here and I'm going to set up Jonas and make him look like a damn genius. So here we go. Cause this is my G League guy. This is who I trust. I'm trying to write up. So for context right now, I'm writing up, I've already done big men and I've done forwards, and now I'm writing up guards, for, you know, kind of a preview before the season starts. And I know there are a couple guys who, well, there's one guy on my list specifically, Jaden Hardy, who is going to be in the G League. So I wanted to ask about him, kind of, if you know, you know, what do you know about him? Have you seen him at all yet? And when they do inevitably play the Spurs, I think the G League Ignite team is only playing 12 games. Is that right?
They're playing just the showcase, so it's approximately 12. There is the final two games within that. Yeah.
So they're playing basically a truncated schedule, and I think they said they're going to find outside the NBA or G League teams to play. So I'm very curious to see how that goes, but because that could be great or a total nightmare. But you know, with this Austin Spurs team, you know, who excites you the most right now? Before the season starts, you're like, I want to watch this guy. I want to watch every time he has the ball, every time he doesn't have the ball. This is my guy.
Well, it's really going to depend on how they end up drafting, because they don't do the G League draft until after camp's already done, roster cuts are already done. And at that point, we're going to figure out who Austin selects, and then they're probably going to build a team roughly around that. But when you look at last year, and assuming that they're going to go back and bring back a lot of guys who are already familiar with the organization, that they're trying to kind of on the low develop, G League contracts are only for 1 year, they're year over year. I think that, you know, maybe somebody like Kasi Babu, you know, who's a bit of a big man, He's been around the league a little bit himself, and he had some good minutes in Orlando, especially after the call-ups of Robert Woodard II back to the Kings and of Luka back to the Spurs. You know, I think that's somebody that they want to bring back, and I don't think it should be a difficult prospect. I've already given away my main name, Nate Renfro. I'm just going to keep beating that drum, see if I can get him a job, since it didn't work for me to get Dedrick Lawson hired. And I think that, and right now he's still playing overseas. I think that now is a good time to kind of call him back as well. The COVID situation in America is much better than many other places. And I think that you could see some prospects start to come back home that did play overseas to work their name back in. I've seen them on Twitter in action, because his littlest brother, the littlest of the Lawsons, is getting ready to come out. And so I think he's currently playing at Kansas or Memphis. They've got familial relationships there too.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, my big question about this Austin roster is, are you going to hold the two spots for Jordan Green and Jeff Ledbetter? That's a really, those are culture guys. They highlighted them in the Growing Ground series when they did that in early 2020, highlighting the rookie seasons of Luka and Keldon. And they gave them extra camera time when talking to Jeff and Jordan in terms of like what their role is as mentors. And I think that now the organization, the G League, can start to take on a lesser role again. This is again why I'm campaigning for Primo to go to the San Antonio team, because this can start to sit in the background again, as you just need chemistry on-court chemistry playing with these guys. And so those are two question marks I have to see if they hold the roster spot for them, because they're not going to be draft guys and nobody else is going to touch them in my understanding.
Okay.
So, and I think one thing that you guys brought up right there was the fact that you know, in that against the Ignite team in those first few games, I think that's interesting to watch, because like Ben, you and I've had this conversation. You know, if the Spurs don't have a good season, they can end up with the sixth pick of the draft, and so all of a sudden, you know, you could be watching the Austin Spurs playing some players who, you know, could be, you know, targets in the lottery for this coming draft. So I think that's something interesting to watch. These are just a few of our thoughts. You know, we know it's the off season right now, but the Spurs will be starting training camp here within the next 2 weeks, over on September 28th, I believe, is when all the NBA team training camps begin. So thanks to Ben and Jonas for joining me here on this episode. Don't forget to visit projectspurs.com. Also, please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's called Project Spurs Network TV. Make sure to check that out. We actually have a contest going on right now. We're trying to reach, I believe it's 1,500 subscribers, guys. Yeah, we had a promotion going on. So make sure you check that out if you want to get in on that promotion. Check out our Project Spurs Twitter handle. It has all that information. Thanks again to Ben and Jonas for joining me here on the Spurscast, and to Michael DeLeon for mixing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.